Psalm 139 and verse number 14 will just be a text to start the message out tonight. The Bible says this, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And he goes on to talk about his substance and how God made us. We are the works of his hands, our bodies. I want to continue a series of messages that I have been bringing, which this will be the second last one. I promise I'll finish next week on this subject. And it's about dealing with sickness. It's something every human being has to deal with or live with, and how we can be successful at either living with sickness or overcoming sickness. I don't believe sickness or weakness has to stop anybody from serving the Lord. It can actually be an aid to the Lord's work, as the Apostle Paul indicated in his testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he said, most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, for when I am weak, he is strong. And he had certain physical infirmities. And so I've been sharing about 12 things that I've learned from the Bible. As I've been going through life, I'm not the healthiest man that ever lived. I'm not the strongest man that ever lived. I don't have the most energy of any man that ever lived. In fact, far from it, but I've had some weakness that I've had to live with all my life. You can ask anybody who knows me in my body. But God called me, and I know he did. That it's just something that was unmistakable to me and put me in the ministry. And so I decided, well, there must be principles in this book. I don't know about you. I believe this book has all the answers. And there's got to be some principles that I can live by in this book, either with sickness or to overcome sickness. And so I want to bring another message on this, and this is number 11, and I want to deal with nutrition tonight and a few things about what the Bible says. I'm not going to review the first 10 for time's sake. I'll do that next week, because I've been bringing out 10 different things that I've tried to apply to my life, and I've based every one on Scripture so far. And it has helped me, and I'm not boasting when I say this, but our church, with the revivals and daily vacation Bible schools over the last 24 years, this Tuesday, has conducted probably 4,000 or more meetings, and I've only missed 6 of them. Out of 4,000 meetings, I've only missed about 6 that I know of, and 3 of those were because I had back spasms so bad I couldn't get out of bed. And not being the healthiest or strongest man on earth, yet I learned some principles that have helped me to be able to have a testimony like that. I like the young man here who has the goal of having perfect attendance at school, and we heard that in testimony tonight. Somehow I did that. I was in my senior year of school and daydreaming in like I usually was during the assemblies, you know, they get everybody assembled, and all of a sudden I hear my name being called out. And it kind of jolts you out of your daydreaming, you know. And I had to go down front and get a certificate for perfect attendance through school. Not being the healthiest guy, somehow I made it. And there are certain things, like what we talked about, character, sometimes discipline, those things. But we'll review some of that next week. I want to talk about nutrition tonight, because this is something that all of us, every one of us in this room without exception, needs this, because you can't go without eating. All of us have to eat. Okay, what are we eating? The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. The body is made up of living cells. 100 trillion living cells or more comprise your eyes, your skin, your blood, your bones, your liver, and so on and so forth. That is an inconceivable number. Every minute of your life, 300 million cells die and are replaced. Every 60 seconds, 300 million of your cells in the next minute will die and be replaced. I don't know about you, but we're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's amazing. Only God could think that up. That didn't evolve by chance. Only God can think that up. Your taste buds replace themselves every 2 weeks. Your surface skin replaces itself every 4 weeks. Your liver completely replaces itself every 6 weeks. Your bones replace themselves once a year. Every cell in your body, about 98% of your body, replaces itself within 1 year's time except the teeth. That's amazing. Only God can do that. 98% of the cells that comprise your body will be replaced in the next year. Unfortunately, because of our diet, they will probably be replaced with cells that are worse than the previous ones. We have major health problems in this county called Erie County, New York. It is number one in the entire country of the United States of America in heart disease, heart attacks, and strokes. Right here in Erie County, this county that we're sitting in tonight, number one of any other county in the United States of America. We've got major health problems, and I believe it's because of the diet around here that we boast about. The chicken wings, the beef on whack, all the pizza and so on and so forth. In order to have a better replacement of cells 1 year from now than you have today, it will take raw food, pure water, fresh air, sunshine for vitamin D and exercise. That's the only way you can replace your body with a superior cell than the one we have today is through eating raw foods, pure water, fresh air, sunshine for vitamin D, and exercise. You cannot support life with death. Cooked food is dead. It is dead food. Now, that's mostly what we eat. Vitamins, minerals, enzymes, proteins, etc., anything that is living begins to die at 107 degrees. That's why they rush you to the hospital when you get a fever, 102, 103. They say, get into the hospital, get her to the hospital. Because everything living begins to die at 107 degrees. I don't know how many of you ever lived in Arizona. I did for 6 months. There's not a lot of living down there. Some people go weeks without eating one single piece of raw food. We should never go a day. Raw food loses 70% of its nutrients by the digestive process. Raw foods lose 70% of the nutrients in them, and I mean vitamins, minerals, enzymes, proteins. Raw foods have shunted off from them 70% of the nutrients your body needs to live on and replace these constantly dying cells. Now, what would cooked food be? What would cooked food be? It's really a marvel of God, I think, that any of us live at all. We have become a society that is addicted to cooked food. So am I. I love cooked food. We all love cooked food. And we have become a society where the medical business just takes in billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars treating people's symptoms without getting to the cause. The worst thing we can put into the human body are animal products of any type. Whether it's meat, dairy, so on and so forth. Many people begin immediately when you hear preaching like that to think, well, how then will I get my protein? I would again encourage you to observe the horses of the field, the cows of the field, the animals, many of the animals of the field that never eat any meat. Horses, as you look at them, they do not have a protein deficiency. Cows don't ever have a protein deficiency, and yet within days after their birth, they are off of animal products, milk, and they live the rest of their life on whole grains, raw, hay, grass, so on and so forth. There are many, many other sources for protein in society than meat. And don't ever forget that. Don't believe the lie that you got to eat meat to get protein in your body. There are people in this room tonight who haven't eaten meat in years and years and years and years and years, and they're just as healthy as those, maybe even more healthy than those who do eat meat. So you need to eat that in moderation. I do. I eat meat, but in very small amounts, very moderation. There are many times where days and days and days go by where I don't. And these are just some things that I have learned. 300 million cells have died in the last minute and been replaced by cells that were made by the nutrients that you have put into your body today. Turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 21. Some of you know the story of our brother, George Malcolmus. And he has had a tremendous influence in me. He was the inventor of the Hallelujah Diet, which I don't do. But nevertheless, he made sense to me in many areas and has helped me correct things where I do feel better because of some of the things that I am doing. George Malcolmus was a pastor in New York. He was having a great church, was running 400 or 500, 600 people in upstate New York, bus ministry, running buses all over the place, people getting saved like crazy and getting baptized. And he was a real independent, fundamental Baptist preacher. And then at the height of his ministry, he was told at 42 years of age that he had colon cancer, just like his mother had died of, and it was just genetic. You got it from your mother, and there's nothing you can do about it. And basically, your days as a pastor are over. And too bad you got it from your mother, she got it from hers, and so on and so forth. And Pastor Malcolmus, had a friend named Evangelist Lester Roloff. And he called him up and he said, "Brother Roloff, they're telling me I've got to take chemotherapy, I've got to take radiation, I've got to go through all these things. I'm 42, I have colon cancer, I'm going to die, just like my mother did. Could you pray for me?" And Lester Roloff told him, "Sure, I'll pray for you, but I will pray for you if you'll do this one thing," he said, "if you'll change your diet and don't eat another piece of cooked food and just eat raw foods." George Malcolmus believed Lester Roloff, and he cut all raw foods, or all cooked food out of his life, and ate only raw foods. In the meantime, he said, "I am going to study what the Bible says about nutrition." He got only to Genesis chapter 1 and down to verse number 29 when he read this about Adam and Eve. "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." And as he got to look at that verse, he went no further. And I know the Bible says a lot about nutrition, a lot about eating, and we live in a day where we live in a different dispensation from Adam, and God says you can eat meat, you can eat any creature, nothing's unclean unto you, and it's wrong to commit or to command anyone to abstain from meats, and so we don't. We don't command anyone to abstain from meats and cooked food and so on and so forth. But he got to Genesis 1 and verse 29, and a thought came into his mind. And the thought was this: you know, God made Adam to live forever. It was not food that killed Adam, it was sin. And Adam's diet was to be raw fruits, raw vegetables, and nuts, according to Genesis 1 and verse number 29. And he got to thinking about that there, and he got to thinking, well, that's what God intended this human body to be fueled by, that would have enabled him to live forever. See, if it wasn't for sin, Adam would be 6,000 years old today. If it wasn't for sin, his diet did not kill him. sin did. And so he looked at that and he thought about what Lester Roloff told him, and so he cut all cooked food from his diet, and he began to eat only raw fruits, raw vegetables, and juice made from raw fruits and raw vegetables. And after 1 year, he felt worse than he ever felt before. And he found out that those 42 years, that there had become so many pockets of poisons in his large intestine and in his small intestine that it took a whole year just to purge out the toxins. People were begging him to give up on that diet. He got down to 139 pounds. And people were just begging him to get off of it. But by faith in God's word, Genesis 1:29, he said, no, I'm going to do it. And then the whole thing turned around and he became extremely healthy. He has a whole ministry now on diet. And he lives now, and his testimony is that for over 20 years now, he has never had one single cold, never gotten the flu, never gotten a virus or infection or anything, never missed a day of work. He began to realize that we are subject to God's natural laws. We are subject to God's natural laws. You know, I know a lot of people say, well, we're under grace, we're not under the law. That's true. But that doesn't mean we're not subject to natural laws. I think the most common illustration might be if you say, well, I'm a born-again Christian, I'm under grace, and you jump off a 150-foot cliff. Let's see at that moment if you're under grace or under the law. We're under natural laws. Those didn't change when Christ died on the cross. And there are laws that we are under. And these are laws of cause and effect. Reaping what we sow. Germs, bacteria, and viruses are God's scavengers that feed on the garbage of our society. That's what they are. You wonder why God made germs, bacteria, and viruses. They feed on the garbage of society. And this is one of the reasons why we have so many germs and bacteria and viruses that are affecting us today. Because of really the diets that we're eating, especially here in Western New York, of garbage. And this is why we're often feeling so sickly and why we're contracting viruses and flus and colds and so on. We as believers need to be careful because oftentimes our diet is no different than that of the world. And yet we're told in Romans 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that it is a good and that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brother Malcolmus, as he was studying the diet of Americans, found that the average American diet contained 85% either cooked or baked or broiled or steamed food, and 15% raw food. Now, he found after a while that he couldn't go on that way and that he did have to have some cooked food. And so he then began a diet of 15% cooked food, like baked potatoes, brown rice, something like that, and 85% raw food, eating all raw fruits for lunch, all raw vegetables for dinner. Now, it's called the Hallelujah Diet. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of discipline in some areas, but this isn't one. I just can't do this, but it has led me quite a ways away from what I used to be like, and I can honestly say that I feel better, and some of the physical problems and ailments that I had, especially in my stomach, have cleared up by the use of raw foods and raw vegetables. Hippocrates said, food is medicine. He was talking about raw food. Food is medicine. And he maybe didn't know it all back then, but what he was talking about was vitamins, minerals, enzymes, protein, and so on and so forth. Food is medicine. One of the struggles we have right about at this moment in a sermon like this is over the subject of ownership. It's called the pride of life in 1 John 2 and verse 17. Ownership. Who really owns us? Who really owns us? And we really find out when it comes to eating. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 says, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." These verses ought to settle the matter of ownership completely. We ought to all say tonight, our bodies belong to God. Now with that principle, we have this warning. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 17, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Now the amazing thing about believers today, unfortunately, is that our health is usually no better than the health of those in the world. Only difference is we pray over our food. Why do we accept everything the world has to offer regarding food in the physical realm? Why do? Where is our separation in this matter? Where is the difference? We are supposed to be separated. We are just as sick as the world and as in most believers. Why is it that the New Agers today are the healthiest people in the world? Why is it that the vegetarians today are the healthiest people in the world? Less than 1% of vegetarians ever have heart disease or heart attacks. Why is there no difference between us in this world and in the realm we live in? The physical body is subject to natural laws. In any church you go to, as many as 90% of all prayer requests are for the sick. Grace does not free us from the law of gravity, does it? And grace does not free us from defiling the body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, with the foods of this world. Before the flood, even with sin, the average lifespan was 912. 912 years, the Bible says, before the flood. Food didn't kill them, sin did. Man's lifespan lowered to 110 years when he became a meat eater in 10 generations in the Bible. In 10 generations from Adam, the lifespan went from 912 down to 120 when man became a meat eater. By David's day, the average lifespan was 70, and despite all of the technology and advancements here in America, it's no better. Let me read it to you. In Psalm chapter 90 and verse number 10, David wrote this. I'm sorry, it says here Moses said this. "The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Notice Moses said the people of his day lived to be 70 to 80 years old. Some people who are really strong make it to 80. Today the average 40-year-old person has 4 major physical problems. 1 in 4 Americans eat junk food every day. America is the most obese country in the world. 60% of Americans get no form of exercise any day. These are the investigations of Professor Banzhoff, B-A-N-Z-A-H-F. I don't know who he is. 61% of Americans are overweight. The Sword of the Lord reported 76% of pastors are overweight. Americans eat 40% of their meals outside of their home. David Satcher, who was once the former United States Surgeon General, called obesity a national epidemic. He pointed out that 1/2 gallon of soda, or what we call pop sometimes around here, has 48 teaspoons of sugar in it. 1/2 gallon. Many of you have bought 2 liters, take them to your house. That's about 1/2 gallon. He stated that obesity will overtake smoking as the number one preventable form of death in our country. Child obesity has doubled in the last 25 years, directly caused by our diet. I think we're catching on now because a lot more stores are having organic aisles and foods and so on and so forth. I'm glad to see that. I don't know if any of you heard about this, but England is considering passing a law giving the government the right to take children away from their parents who are obese. And it's based on a 12-year-old boy who's 200 pounds, and they believe he's in that condition because of the neglect of the parents feeding him junk food all the time. And now I know that not all obesity is caused by overeating or junk food. I understand that Pastor Craig talked about his own wife and how she'd eat like a little bird sometimes, but she had a tumor on some gland. And in effect, I understand that. I understand that. But yet child obesity has doubled in the last 25 years, and England wants to pass a law. I don't know how far it's getting over there in their parliament, but they want to make that another cause to say, hey, you are mistreating your children. We're taking your children away from you. Number one in advertising is $1.4 billion a year worldwide McDonald's restaurant. Second in advertising, $1 billion per year worldwide Pepsi. The average can of Pepsi has 11 tablespoons of sugar in it. I just picture, for instance, you allowing your kids to come to my house. And while they're there, I say, kids, you thirsty? Yeah, yeah. And I get out some colored water and a bag of sugar. And just picture me with your kids taking a teaspoon, I should have said, and going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and then mixing it up in the colored water here and saying, here you go, kids. Would any of you stop me? And yet there are 11 teaspoons of sugar in every single can of pop. That'll blow out anyone's pancreas eventually and cause all kinds of problems, diabetes, insulin problems, and so on. Children see 10,000 commercials for junk food in their youth, quote unquote. That's before they're 12 years of age, and that's average TV watchers, which I hope you're not. 10,000. Do you remember I remember my little kids like this in the back seat, strapped into their car seats. They might not know where we're going, but boy, they recognized those yellow arches when you drove by. And they'd start having fits. Remember that? Huh? They got them. They got their minds. They got them early. Morgan Spurlock, produced a movie called Super Size Me. I would not suggest anyone watch it. It's vulgar. It has profanity in it. And so on and so forth. I watched it for the content. I didn't know it was going to be that way. I was told it was just a documentary, and it was, but Morgan Spurlock is the man who did the experiment where he ate only at McDonald's restaurant for 30 days straight. And then they analyzed everything that he ate at McDonald's restaurant for 30 days straight. Did you know those salads that they have now at McDonald's with the chicken strips on and so on and so forth? Do you know they have more sugar in them than some of the desserts they serve? They take that stuff, they put it in a blender, and they whip it all up, and they separate it, and so there's more sugar in the salads than some of the other food they serve. And what's the first concept you get when you buy the salad? Oh, I'm eating healthy food now. And you also say, usually when you're done, boy, that was a good salad. Why? It was just filled with sugar. Morgan Spurlock ate at McDonald's for 30 days straight, Analyzing the food he ate in that month, 30 pounds of sugar, 1 pound per day. His weight went from 185 up to 210 pounds. He gained 25 pounds in 1 month. His liver turned to fat. His cholesterol shot up 65 points. His body fat went from 11% to 18%. He doubled his risk of heart disease and attacks on the liver in 30 days. And one out of four Americans eat junk food every day. And so he presented that to the Congress of the United States and tried to get a bill, doing something to try to stop this from happening anymore. And the bill did not ever get out of committee, because you're dealing with a lot of lobbyists, a lot of money, when you're dealing with the junk food industry, as you can imagine. We need to be different. We got to be different. I know it's almost impossible to avoid it all, but we need to make some gradual changes where we're switching over to raw fruits and raw vegetables. And even then, there's problems with insecticides, pesticides, and herbicides, which they usually spray on 2 days before harvest, as well as all the time it's growing. So you've got to eat washed fruits and washed vegetables. And I'm glad they're coming out with these organic things now. And there's a lot of bags you can buy now at some of the stores like Wegmans and Martin's and so on and so forth of salads and different greens. The darker the green, the better, because they have more chlorophyll in them, and our body needs that and so on. And they're selling these bags already washed. And you can take them home, wash them again, and have a nice meal. But usually what we do is eat all cooked food and a little side salad, 85-15. And we need to get just to where we're eating more raw foods and eating less cooked food and little or no junk food. So that's going to take a major change in us. And I know it's hard. I don't know about you. I love cookies. I just struggle with those things, you know. And I don't know why. I just have that weakness. But a diet full of fat and sugar is sickening. We're actually sickening, and I don't mean sickening in the sense of that's sick, but sickening, it causes sickness. The Bible says, thou shalt not eat the fat. And so if we do eat meat, we ought to cut away all the fat and eat only lean portions of meat. And that ought to be really a delicacy. It ought not to be a normal part of our diet. But we live in a day where there's people that have breakfast sausage and bacon in the morning and bologna sandwich for lunch and go home and have a big steak or ham or something in the evening, and they're eating meat 3 times a day. And we're not, as I mentioned once, I think we don't have you look at the animals that God made in nature that are naturally carnivorous, and they have small stomach tracts. Very short, 2-3 feet long. The human one is about 30 feet from the mouth to the exit, if I can say that properly, and going down the esophagus and the stomach and large intestine and the small intestine, which stretch from that pillar to that one, 30 feet. And the average human being, if you're pulling, there's all kinds of folds and so on and so forth, where meat can set inside of those folds and putrefy, and thus cause a lot of the cancers and a lot of the arthritis that we're having today, and so on and so forth. And the process of getting detoxified takes a while. And that's why I encourage fasting from time to time and drinking pure aloe vera juice or distilled water. And I'm doing this twice a week now. Sometimes just for health reasons, twice a week I'll go about 24 hours, maybe less, where I don't eat anything but just try to flush my system with warm water. It works for me. It helps me to avoid those pockets of poison. Eat more living food and fruits and vegetables. Natural sugars in their natural state in fruits and vegetables, which almost all of them have some natural sugars, are much better than the cane sugar that has been manufactured by man and actually has become a toxic chemical. the white sugar that we have in so much of our food. You almost can't buy anything but that the second or third ingredient that you read will say sugar. It's almost impossible. I know this is hard. Sucrose, by the way, is the base for cultures that bacteria, germs, and viruses live in the medical research labs. When they want to keep germs and viruses and bacteria alive in medical labs, they put them in a culture of sucrose. What is sucrose? It's sugar. And the more sugar that we put into our bodies, the more that we ingest, the more fertile field we create in our bodies for germs, bacteria, and virus to thrive in. And this is why George Malcolmus claims that he is so healthy now and doesn't get colds or fevers or infections and hasn't had the flu in 20-some years and hasn't had a common cold in 20-some years. And that is because he says in his body he is not providing any type of a fertile field for germs, viruses, or bacteria to thrive. Again, those are God's scavengers that feed on the junk of this world. I don't know everything about this, but that sure sounds like a good philosophy or a good plan to me. If you can try to keep as much sugar out of you as possible, and natural sugars we do need for energy and so on and so forth. But they need to be in God's form. They need to be in God's form. We are warned in Proverbs 23, in verses 1 through 3, the Bible says this: when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. They're deceiving, dainties being sweets. He says, don't desire the king's sweets. The word dainties found over in Revelation 18:14 comes from the Greek word lipos, which means Greece, G-R-E-A-S-E, not the country, but greasy meats. And it says, watch out for those. Watch out for those. I think that's why there's so many health problems here in Western New York is because of we're not obeying the Bible. We're not putting a knife up to our throat for a man that's given to appetite. And we're eating this deceitful meat. It'll deceive you. See, one of the things that I find addicting is the desire to eat food that tastes good from about here to here. You ever notice that? You know what that's called? Sorry to break this to you. It's called the lust of the flesh. When we eat something that's good for us because it tastes good from here to about right here. But what about the other 30 foot of us? It really does the work where it sits in the stomach and it absorbs through the large intestine linings and so on and so forth into the bloodstream and carries these to all the cells that are multiplying at 300 million per minute. Does it do them any good? And see, that's why if you can make natural juices, for instance, we got ourselves a little cheap $15 orange juice. We go down to Brady Miller's, buy oranges with seeds in them. Remember Genesis 1:29? Anything you can eat with seeds in it is better than with seedless. Anything seedless has been genetically re-engineered. Seedless grapes, seeds with grapes in them are better than seedless grapes. Not seedless grapes aren't going to kill you. The seedless oranges aren't going to kill you. But we buy the oranges, juice oranges with seeds in them. I have to go down there, sad to say, our society, but I say, can I have a box of juice oranges? They're like, what? What are you talking about? I said, a box of juice oranges. I'd like to buy a box. I don't know if we have one. And I got girls down there scurrying all over the place whenever I go there. I said, this guy wants a box of juice oranges. Because everybody loves seedless oranges. The Lord said in Genesis 1:9, the fruits and so on with the seeds in them. And I think he said that to help us. And I know it's hard, but eat the grapes with seeds in them. Eat the seeds. Eat the watermelon seeds. Good for you. Eat nuts. Raw nuts are better. That's hard for me, but raw nuts are better. And avoid greasy foods. We need to ingest organic minerals, organic vitamins, organic enzymes, and organic proteins. And the only ones that are organic are those that come from living plants. Inorganic minerals, proteins, vitamins, and enzymes come from pills. And boy, isn't that a deception. How many of you know somebody who eats junk food all the time, but they pop that one-a-day pill and they think, there, I'm safe. And that thing just sits in their stomach, rarely digests, and is usually excreted without absorbing at all. And they just had a big special on TV, and I don't know if it was any good or anything, but the big vitamin debate and so on and so forth, I'm glad they're debating that because a lot of that doesn't ingest. I'll tell you what ingests, what's the best thing for you to ingest in your body the most rapidly. Remember, if you eat some lettuce, 70% of the nutrients are going to be lost. And that's if they're raw. If you eat an orange, 70% of the nutrients are going to be shunt off and excreted without ever being absorbed. But if you make some natural orange juice and you drink it, then you're going to absorb the vitamins and the minerals and the nutrients and the enzymes and the proteins into your body as soon as they hit the stomach. They're going to start absorbing into your body. Juices. You might want to invest in a juicer. Make carrot juice and your own apple juice and so on and so forth. It's a lot of hard work, but it just seems like doing anything right is hard nowadays. It takes more effort. Educating your children. Well, it's easier just to stick them in front of a television. Finally, they're off my back. I can have some peace and quiet. Well, it's a lot harder to just shut the television off, read the kid books, or, you know what I'm saying? No matter what realm of life you live in, it's harder to do the right thing, especially when it comes to food, because the junk food is packaged and processed. Man, you can almost go through the drive-through of a restaurant almost if you time it right without stopping. I'm just kidding, but you can get your junk food in a hurry. And there's some good things. I go out to restaurants and things too. You know, I'm not the ideal when it comes to this. In fact, I tell my wife, well, I usually do my worst eating at the church. You know, and we have something going on. I hope they don't think I'm always like this. But I think eating and getting together for food and fellowship is important. But folks, your body has no means whatsoever to take something inorganic and change it into living. Plants can do that. It's called photosynthesis, where a plant can reach its roots into the ground and take a dead mineral, for instance, like copper, and turn it into a living. It can take an inorganic mineral, and a plant can take it and convert it into an organic, living mineral. So then if we eat the plant, we then eat the living, organic mineral. But when you get a vitamin and it says vitamin E, all you need for the day, and vitamin C and vitamin D and so on and so forth, and it's all in an inorganic form, there is nothing in your body that can take an inorganic vitamin and convert it into a living organic vitamin. Nothing. There's no process. We don't have photosynthesis going on in the human body. So it would be better for a person to take all of their vitamins and throw them in the garbage and use that same money to go out and buy some raw fruits and raw vegetables and get organic living vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and proteins from living food than it would be, you know, thinking somehow when I pop a vitamin C pill in my mouth, somehow that's going to become living. There is no process in your body that can make that alive. Drink natural juices, not drinks or soft drinks. And watch out for drinks. Those are also very deceptive. You know, fruit drink contains 17% natural. Some of the things you read on there. Distilled water. Read the yearly report. I read it every year. They have to, by law, send a yearly report to the water that comes out of your tap. Chlorine. Fluoride. You ever hear that? Boy, you got to have fluoride for your teeth. You ever hear that? Yeah, great, but it's no good for anything past your teeth. It's a toxic chemical. Chlorine kills things. That's why we stick it in the baptistry. Kills living things. And when it goes in your body through tap water, it doesn't say, oh, we're entering a human now. We better stop killing things. It doesn't think like that. All the other things, you'd be amazed what they put in there. So I want to just encourage you to start making a change in your life. I love cooked foods. I know that too, but I'm getting, you know, to where my family has made quite a change over the years to more raw foods, raw fruits, raw vegetables. And then, you know, if you can get into more of the organic type, I know God says we ought to eat breads and things like that. Try to eat meat in moderation, much greater moderation than what we do today. But I want to encourage you strongly, raw fruits, raw vegetables, try to have some every day. Let's face it, what we eat is probably the greatest addiction any of us have. But this has helped me, I'm telling you, this has helped me. You know, you can ask my wife for a testimony because many of my stomach problems have gotten so much better and other physical problems I've had. And then when I relapse and I start eating all the cooked food and the meat and the grease and all that kind of stuff, I start feeling like garbage again. And so I wanted to bring this out. Number 11 tonight was eat good food and raw fruits and raw vegetables. Include that in your diet. Watch your kids. I got an article here. I don't have time to read it for time's sake, but it's because foods can affect behavior. What a great study this is here about colors. It talks about the color yellow and the color red, additives that are affecting people's children's behavior, food colors, and how they give, you know, they give kids amoxicillin colored pink. And then they wonder why the kid's, diagnosed shortly after with ADHD, and then they got to stick drugs in. And it talks in this study about, how they got to stick orange color in all the macaroni they eat. What kid's going to eat macaroni? It looks natural. So they got to put orange color in, and all these studies showing all the behavior problems. And I believe I could show you in Isaiah 7 how the Bible even teaches that food affects a person's behavior. We've all seen what are called sugared up kids. We've all seen that. Just come here any Sunday after Halloween or something. And it's just anybody with their eyes open see it. And so we've got to watch out for food colors and preservatives and sugar, and that is the toxic man-made refined white sugar. Brown sugar is a little bit better for you. Some of the natural things, honey, maple syrup, molasses are better sweeteners. And there are substitutes in God's creation. But I just wanted to bring that to you tonight as one of 11 things that has helped me over the years to live with this thing called sickness. Let's pray. Our Father, bless now our prayer time and our fellowship. Lord, help us. Lord, it's so hard for us, especially when we do something 2, 3, 4 times a day. Lord, it's so hard to eat well. And but Lord, and we're living in a bad place right now. Lord, Erie County, and you know the heart problems, the diseases, the strokes in this county. Just staggering. And much of it's our greasy diet. Lord, forgive us. But Lord, help us to have the grace and the determination, the resolve to start eating better, to start getting away from 85% cooked food and start eating more raw fruits and vegetables, washed, and nuts and natural water and juices. Lord, that can help us be stronger. This has been the goal through these sermons, is that we could obey the commandment that says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy strength. Lord, we want to be stronger. Help us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at 5.